To Romans chapter number 1. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's page 1168. If you're using, we want to invite you to use those. If you need a Bible, we'll be glad to give you a Bible. Not the Pew Bible, if you would. Please don't take that one home. We have other Bibles that we will give you if you'll come see us after the service. But brand new ones, not used like the ones in your pew. All right? It's page 1168 if you're using your Bible in your pew. And that'll take you to Romans. I got to get there. Romans chapter 1. All right, everybody look with me at verse 16. Here the Bible clearly states, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." That word gospel means good news. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," the good news of Christ. "For it is the power of God unto salvation," to who? To everyone. Say that again, to who? Everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel of Christ is said to be the power of God. What is that good news? What is the good news of Christ? Here it is, according to 1 Corinthians 15. The good news of Christ is the death, the fact that He died on the cross for our sins. He died for us. We deserve to die. He died for us. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, but 3 days later He what?
Rose again.
We have a resurrected Christ. And our sin has alienated us from a holy God. Sin is when we violate God's moral law. You've heard of the Ten Commandments. Well, you and I have violated the Ten Commandments. Lust, taking things that don't belong to us, called stealing, lying, disobeying our parents, putting other things ahead of God, which is idolatry, covetousness. All these different ways, taking God's name in vain, we have violated God's moral law over and over again. And because of that, the Bible says we are alienated from God by wicked works. Now, the question is, how do we go from alienation from God to reconciliation with God? That's the question. How do I go from being alienated from God by wicked works, by disobeying His standard, His moral law? How do I go from being alienated from God, a holy God, as a sinner, how do I get reconciled to God? There's only one way according to the Bible. And that is to turn from our sin, to turn from our unbelief, and turn in faith to God's provision. And what is God's provision for your forgiveness? It's Jesus Christ. There is a man-made theological system that's very prevalent here in this area. Many churches teach it. And it's a man-made theological system that was made popular by a man named John Calvin, who really borrowed a lot of his doctrine from Augustine. And this man-made theological system teaches that due to man's total depravity, due to mankind's total sinfulness, that mankind cannot respond to the gospel of Christ. He cannot choose to believe on Christ. Calvinism equates total depravity, total sinfulness, with a total inability to accept God's gift of Jesus Christ. You say, "Pastor, why would anybody believe that? Why would anybody believe that you cannot call on the name of the Lord, that you cannot believe on Christ?" Here's why. Because the foundation of their theological system demands that. You see, the very foundation of the system teaches that God predestined vast multitudes, billions and billions of people, to eternal damnation without allowing them any choice whatsoever. Calvinism teaches that before the foundation of the world, God predestined, predetermined that there would be billions of people that He would allow to be born, and He's allowing them to be born into the world with one purpose, and that is to damn them eternally. And there's absolutely nothing that they can do about it. There is an elect few that God chose to salvation, Calvinism teaches. There's an elect few that He has chosen. God has limited His grace and His mercy to a select few called the elect. But what does the Bible teach? Well, the Bible teaches every person, I don't care if it's your neighbor, your coworker, your loved one that doesn't know Jesus, every person on this earth can and should respond in faith to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, why does the Bible teach that? Here's why. Number one in your handout, because it's necessary for our salvation. It's necessary for our salvation. I'm going to tie my shoes because it'll irritate my wife the whole message. Is the other one? Okay, good. I don't know how they get untied, but they do. It's necessary for our salvation. You know, the Bible is clear. Now listen. Here's what the Bible teaches. We are lost in our sins. As I said, we violated God's moral law, and as a result, we're lost. We're without God, the Bible says. We are without God. We are without Christ. We are without forgiveness. We're lost. And we are in need of a Savior. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. 3 days later, He triumphed over death. We simply need to turn to Him in faith. And then He saves us. Does that sound simple? It's because it is. It is simple. In your handout, I want you to look at a verse. Acts 16:31. A man comes to Paul, says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what?"
Saved.
Believe on Him, you shall be saved. Take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 10. You should already be in the book of Romans. So let's just flip over a few pages to chapter 10, verse 9. Look what the Bible says. Romans 10, verse 9. Look at it. The Bible, the Word of God, God's Word says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, what's the promise? If you believe, thou shalt be what? Say, look at verse 13. Everybody say it with me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at this verse up here. Notice this one. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How do I get salvation? Through what?
Faith.
Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So when I put my faith in Him, when I put my faith in Jesus, what do I get?
Salvation.
Look at the next verse. It says, for ye are all the children of God. How do I become a child of God? How do I go out of Satan's family and how do I get into God's family? Because I'm a sinner. By nature, I'm in Satan's family. How do I get out of Satan's family and how do I get in God's family? For ye are all the children of God by what?
Faith
in Christ Jesus. In your handout, it says, we turn in faith to Jesus Christ and He saves and He regenerates us by His Spirit. Pastor Larry, come here for a minute. Pastor Larry, listen, get on your knees like you're being humble. I know. When Pastor Larry was broken by his sin and he made a decision to choose to put his faith in Christ, the moment that he put his faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches that he was saved. He was delivered from the penalty of his sin. The moment he put his faith in that substitute that died for him, Jesus Christ, and he was regenerated. That means that life was brought to him. He's without the life of God. But the moment he put his faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit came in and regenerated him. The Spirit of God came to live inside of him. When did that happen? I want you to notice in your handout. Look at when it happens. Okay, look at your handout. Ephesians 1:13. In Christ, ye also, what? Trusted. So you trusted Christ. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you heard somebody preach the gospel. You heard about the good news of Jesus. You trusted Christ. Then look what the Bible says. In whom also, after that you believed, after you exercised faith in Christ, after you placed your faith in Christ, after you believed, what happened? Look at the end of the verse. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When did he get the Holy Spirit? When did the Holy Spirit regenerate him? When? According to this. When he trusted Christ. When he believed the gospel of his salvation. That's when the Holy Spirit came in. Thank you, Brother Larry. I want you to look up here on the screen at a chart. Okay? Here's what the Bible teaches. Faith in Christ, keep going, brings regeneration by God's Spirit. Now, is that not what every verse we read teaches? Every verse we read teaches that. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Calvinism reverses the biblical order. It reverses it. And here's what it teaches. Okay? Let's bring it up here. The elect, okay, bring it up. The elect, those who were chosen before the foundation of the world, God comes and regenerates them. Now keep, no, not yet, go back. Okay? God comes, regenerates them by His Spirit. Okay? They don't even know it's happening, the elect. They don't know when the Holy Spirit came in and regenerated them. This is what Calvinism teaches. That just mysteriously, it could happen in infancy, they teach. That at some point in your life, maybe as an infant or a child or whenever, the Holy Spirit comes and regenerates you without you even knowing it. And then at some time in your life, because you were already regenerated by God's Spirit, then you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, go ahead and bring up the next thing. That's wrong. Okay, there's not one verse in the Bible that they can cite that clearly states that. Every verse in the Bible, I only gave you a sampling. It teaches that we put our faith in Jesus and then we're saved, we're regenerated. You know, John 1:12, where it talks about He came unto His own, His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, to those that believe on His name. But now I want you to notice something. By placing regeneration before your faith in Christ, what the Calvinists has done is they have taken away from the lost person. It's taken away from them the only opportunity that they have to avail themselves of the grace of God. In other words, the lost person that's lost and they don't know Christ, that sinner, all they can do now is sit around and hope that God sovereignly chooses to regenerate them. It's out of their hands. They can't put their faith in Christ. Folks, it's faith in Jesus that saves us. And if we can't put our faith in Christ, then we can never know if we've been regenerated by God's Spirit. In your handout, it says Romans 10, 13 and 14 makes it clear that in order for lost people to be saved, they must hear the gospel. You're in Romans 10, and I want you to look at it again. Look at verse 13. Everybody look at Romans 10, 13. Can you say it again with me? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But now look at verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not, what? Heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, somebody's got to tell them about Jesus if they're ever going to be saved. God's not just going to sovereignly come and regenerate them by His Spirit. There's got to be somebody to preach the Word of God to them. They have to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. If your neighbor's going to be saved, someone's got to tell them about Jesus. If your lost family member is going to know Christ, then someone's got to tell them about Jesus Christ if they're going to be saved. You know how a Calvinist would read verse 14? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not been regenerated? And how shall they be regenerated unless God sovereignly elects them? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible, that's why the Bible commands disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Does that not mean that every person can be saved? Look in your handout. The Bible says that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Do you believe that this morning? I can tell you beyond any shadow of a doubt, God wants you to be saved. If you're here and you're lost in your sins, you are alienated from God and you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And if you go to the lake of fire, it'll be your choice. God has already made provision for your sin through sending His Son, Jesus, to come and die for you. And God wants you to be saved if you will turn to Him. Let me give you the second reason why every person can and should respond in faith to the gospel. Number two, because God commands every person to repent and believe on Christ. What is repentance? Remember what I taught you a few weeks ago from 2 Timothy 2? Repentance is a turning. It's a 180-degree turn. 180-degree turn. Repentance is when you turn from sin, you turn from self, you turn from your unbelief, and you turn to Jesus Christ. An example is up here on the screen. The Bible says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye what? Turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." These folks repented. They made a choice to turn from their idols and to turn to God. Look at the next verse. The disciples were sharing Christ, and it says the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and, say it with me, turned to the Lord. They made a decision to believe the disciples' message and to turn to the Lord. Listen, how many people, it says in your handout, how many people does God command to repent and turn to Christ? Does anybody know? How many people? That's right. All works. I should have thought of that. But I put everyone. All right. All is less letters, isn't it? You can put all if you want to. That'll be fine. That's better. All. Everyone. I want you to turn your handout over and look with me. Acts 17:30. "And the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." The Apostle Paul was commissioned to be a witness unto all men of what he'd seen and heard. Paul was commissioned by God to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the great mystery of the gospel in Jesus Christ. God said, "Paul, I want you to make all men, I want you to go out and endeavor, make all men see the mystery of this gospel." Paul took that very seriously. And in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul says this. He said, "I taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me ask you a question. Would God command people to repent if they were incapable of doing it? Doesn't sound like God to me, but that's exactly what Calvinism teaches. Can I use you again, Larry? Come up here. Here's what it teaches. Calvinism, and you're gonna come across this, okay, if you live in this area. That's why I'm warning you. One of my jobs as a pastor is to warn you, okay? And I'm warning you. Here's what it teaches, okay? God, let's assume for a minute that Larry is lost. He's a wicked, vile, filthy, rotten, hell-bound sinner. Can you all imagine that? Okay. I think we can do that. We can manage that. Now, Larry, now listen, for the cause of the illustration, we are also going to say Larry is not one of the elect, as Calvinism says. He is not one of those that were chosen before the foundation of the world. So now here's what I want you to see. God says to Larry and commands him, we've seen it in the Bible. God says, "Larry, you need to repent and you need to turn to my son Jesus Christ and be saved." But then God withholds the grace from Larry to be able to obey that. God says, "Okay, repent." Then he withholds the grace for him to be able to repent and turn to Christ. Then one day, Larry dies. And Larry stands before God. And he stands before God, which all of us will do one day. We're going to stand before God in judgment. And God says to Larry, "You are going to go to hell. You're going to go to everlasting fire." Larry says, "Why?" "Because you would not repent and you would not turn to my son away from me." So God tells him to repent, refuses to give him the grace and the ability to do it, then sends him to hell for not doing it. Folks, if that doctrinal system is true, that makes a mockery of God's word. It libels God's character. And all the places, all through your Bible, you know what you've got in your Bible? You've got God pleading and striving with mankind to repent. And so, if Calvinism is true, then the entire history of God's dealings with man as recorded in the Bible loses its credibility. A Calvinist may say, well, but when God is pleading with mankind to repent, He's pleading with the elect. Well, that sure doesn't make much sense, does it? I mean, it'd be kind of senseless for God to plead with the elect when He's already predestined them to salvation and is going to affect it sovereignly without any faith on their part anyway. It doesn't make sense. It libels God's character. How could God say, repent, but I'm not going to let you? Now, you must go to hell because you didn't repent. No. I'm here to tell you something right now. God is not playing semantic word games with mankind. He truly desires for every person to be saved. He has commanded them to repent. He has commanded them to turn to Christ. And He has commissioned us to tell the world that message. Thanks. Number three. The third reason why every person can and should respond in faith to the gospel of Christ is number three, because God has given, this is glorious, God has given every person the ability to respond. Now, I know this message isn't, there's not a lot of fluff here at all. I've got a lot of material. I know that some of you, maybe it's kind of, maybe not, you know, it's maybe doing this, but I really want you to listen on purpose and I want you to get this, okay? Let me ask you a question. Is mankind sinful and totally depraved? I would agree with the Calvinists. Mankind is sinful and depraved, absolutely through and through. I mean, we've seen that, haven't we? Is sin universal, yes or no? Yes. Is mankind enslaved by sin, yes or no? Yeah. By nature, man does not of his own initiative seek after God. But, let me ask you one more question. Does that mean that mankind is incapable of hearing the gospel preached, being convicted of their sin, and choosing to believe the good news of Christ? Certainly not. Griffith Thomas made this statement. He said, total depravity does not mean the absolute loss of the freedom of the soul in choosing, enabling it to determine conscious action. In this sense, our freedom is real, and the fall of man has not affected it. Fallen man has the faculty of will as he has other faculties. You see, in Romans chapter 1, if you'll turn back there with me to chapter 1 again, God has revealed Himself to every person on this earth. You say, how? First of all, through creation. Look at Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of Him, for the invisible things of Him, that's God, the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they, that's the pagan nations, so that they are, what's the last two words? Without excuse. Look at chapter 2. Okay, chapter 2, verse 15. This teaches that God's given every person in the universe a moral conscience. Verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. The Bible teaches that God has revealed Himself to every person through creation and through a moral conscience. Now, please stay with me. In Acts 17, the Apostle Paul is preaching to the city of Athens. They were steeped in idolatry, steeped in paganism. And you know what Paul told those people? He said in verse 26 and 27, he said this, God has made of one blood all nations for to dwell on the face of the earth, and He's appointed the bounds of their habitation. Why did God do that? That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. According to Paul, lost pagan people can seek the Lord. They can make a choice to seek the Lord because he said he's not far from every one of us. And when he said that, he was speaking to lost pagan people. You see, God sent the Holy Spirit to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In your handout, I want you to look with me at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? All men." I want you to get that statement above that. The grace to believe the gospel has been given to all men. Salvation. Can anybody tell me? Salvation is said to be the what of God. Does anybody know? Salvation is the... Thank you. It's the gift of God. We cannot will salvation. We cannot work for it. We cannot earn it. But certainly we can receive it. To believe the gospel, to receive Christ, that doesn't require any work or worth on man's part. You see, a Calvinist will say, "Well, yeah, but you know what? Faith, that's a work. You're putting your faith in Christ. That's salvation by works." Huh? Larry, come here again. Larry, man alive, I am broke. I got $1. Sure am glad I had that. And you know what? I want to give... Yeah, to buy a cup of coffee. Well, I don't even know if it'll buy that anymore. But I want to give you this dollar as a gift. Now, question. Did that require any work on his part? Yes or no? Now, let me ask him. Does that bring any glory to him? Yes or no? Doesn't bring any glory to him. No. But you know what? He didn't work for it. He didn't earn it. It was a gift. But you know what? Even though it was a gift, he did have to what? He just had to receive it. That's not work. That's not any worth on his part just because he took the gift. You see, God says that salvation is a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. And you can't work for salvation. You say, "Well, I sure hope I'm good enough to go to heaven." Forget it. You'll never be good enough to go to heaven. You've broken God's law over and over and over again. You're guilty. You'll never be good enough. You'll never earn it. You'll never work for it. But I'll tell you one thing. God's offering you the gift through Jesus Christ, His Son, if you'll receive it. Amen. You can receive the gift. Listen, thanks, Larry. I'm going to keep my dollar too. Thank you. Listen. Sinful mankind can't contribute one thing to their salvation. But certainly they can receive salvation freely offered in Christ. Look in your handout. Revelation 22:17. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth..." This is one of the last verses in the Bible. "Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And..." What's the next two words? "Whosoever will." Everybody in here understands that the same way. Unless you've been taught a theological system that reinterprets that. Everybody in here understands that. "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Amen. See, the Bible is clear. And I want you to get this in your handout. By the way, look at this verse, Romans 6:17. Bring it up for me, please. Could you bring that up? Romans 6, could you bring up the next verse? But he tells the Romans, "God be thanked that you were the what? Servants of sin. But," he said, "you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Slaves to sin, but they made a choice to obey God by believing on Jesus Christ. In your handout, I want you to get this statement. The reason why people do not respond to the gospel is not because they are incapable, as the Calvinist teaches, but rather they are not willing. They're not willing. I want you to look at this verse. Jesus is crying and weeping over Jerusalem. And he said, look up here at the screen. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee." How often, Jesus said, how often would I have gathered thee? Notice this was his will. He said, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. But what's the rest of it say? And ye would not. They were not willing. They were not willing. In John 7:17, Jesus said to lost people, "If any man will do his will..." Man has a free will. Man has a what? Free will to choose. In, I want you to look up here at the screen, and I got a couple verses I want to show you. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Saved. Look at the next verse. Verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Next verse. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Why are people going to spend eternity in hell, separated from God and eternally condemned? According to Calvinism, it's because God predestined and He elected them to eternal torment. They're totally depraved and they can't believe the gospel because they've been elected to hell. But according to the words of Jesus, the reason why people will go to hell and be condemned, it's because they love their sin and they refuse to believe on Jesus Christ. In your handout is a very familiar verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Boy, does that not sum it up? How does God feel about the world? He loves it. To what extent? He gave His Son. What gift is God offering to the world? Everlasting life. How does a person receive that gift? Believe on Christ. Only a man-made, complex, theological system could mess up the simplicity of that verse right there. I understand that verse. You understand that verse. My first grader understands that verse. You see, God is not playing semantic word games with you. He means it. He means it. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. Listen, people say, well, but you can't come to Jesus unless the Father draws you. What do you think He's done? He made the first move. He sent His Son. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. He made the first move. He's done His part. He sent His Son. He sent the Holy Spirit to the world to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. He's trying to draw you. But in your handout, it says, but now the choice is yours. Jesus said, you either believe or you believe not. That's the difference between condemnation or eternal life. Either believe or you believe not. Okay, before you put up your notes, listen to this statement. This author wrote, and I like what he said, if there is anything the Bible shows, it is that God does hold men responsible for their actions. God's thou shalt is spoken to free persons, not to puppets. You're not a puppet on a string. God gives you every day the ability to make choices. And listen, you have a choice to either believe as Jesus said or to believe not on the Son. And the difference is between heaven and hell. My prayer for you is that you will choose. God's given you the ability to respond. And my prayer is that you will choose to believe on Christ. Repent. Turn from your unbelief. Turn from your sin. And turn to Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer this morning.